America was born for the most part by those seeking religious freedom. But tragically, today, around the world, religious freedom is still at risk in many places, especially for Christians. In fact, Christians are being slaughtered in Nigeria right now, in Africa. There are millions of Christians at risk in other places as well. Wendy Wright heads up Christian Freedom International, and she joins us to discuss how about 360 million Christians around the world are at risk when it comes to religious persecution, or maybe I should say anti-religious persecution. Wendy, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Sure. Okay, so first of all, how about a global picture about, you know, America, well, first of all, America and religious liberty, and then the global picture of religious liberty in the world today.
Yeah, we're seeing challenges to religious liberty in the United States, everything from people's jobs and careers and educational ability or attainments are being threatened by people who do not respect the Judeo-Christian worldviews. And so it's instructive for us in the United States to be watching what is happening in other countries. Well, first and foremost, because as Christians, these are our brothers and sisters in other countries who are being severely persecuted for their faith. But it's helpful to us to see the kind of tactics that are being used so that we can be aware and forewarned as we may see them happening in other countries as well as the United States. You mentioned Nigeria. More Christians are killed in Nigeria every year than every other country combined. And every week I'm getting another news report of another massacre, kidnapping, some terrible atrocity that's happened in Nigeria against Christians. And so that's why Christian Freedom International has been getting more active in Nigeria in trying to help the survivors, everything from helping the widows and the orphans to have trauma healing, start up small businesses because they've many times lost the breadwinner in their family, their father, the husband. And we have just helped to build with our partner in Nigeria a center, a recovery center. You know, when a family's been destroyed through massacres and persecution, then oftentimes you have young men and women who are left to fend for themselves. They would end up living on the streets. And sadly, as just like can happen here in the United States, can get involved in substance abuse. And so thankfully, our partners in Nigeria were able to locate a compound that we've helped to build out, and it will become a recovery center, a place of healing, where these young men and women will be discipled, will be loved on, and will help to be trained so that then when they finish their program, they can go and have a healthy life and a way to make a living as they when they leave.
Okay, and why are the Christians being killed in Nigeria? Is this all related to Islam? I mean, obviously there's Islamic countries all over the world, but, you know, there's something terrible uniquely happening in Nigeria. So what's the story?
Yes, it's a militant form of Islamism. It's like what we saw with ISIS in the Middle East, in Iraq, just a couple of years ago. And people may wonder what did happen to ISIS. They weren't all just destroyed or killed. They ended up spreading oftentimes into Africa. But there are a lot of so-called homegrown Islamists in Nigeria and throughout Africa that are just wreaking havoc on Christian communities. So they have formed themselves into groups like Boko Haram, which literally means like Western education is evil. And also forms of ISIS, like the ISWAP, the Islamic State of Western African Province. And also then the Fulani herdsmen. These are tribes, many tribes that have been, they existed peacefully alongside Christians for generations, for centuries. But sadly, there are now a number of the herdsmen who have been radicalized, Islamized, and have been equipped with high-powered weapons. And they are attacking villages and taking over the land. Now, sadly, the international elites, including those in our State Department and in the Biden administration, attribute this just to climate change. They're saying that the Fulani, who are herdsmen, don't have enough land to graze their cows, and that's why they're attacking these Christian villages. But that's simply not, that doesn't add up to the facts on the ground of what's happening, because there are a number of Fulanis who are still living peacefully alongside Christians. But there's really not a reason for the Fulani herdsmen to massacre in the most gruesome way, kidnap the women and girls to use them as rewards for jihadi warriors. They're married off to the jihadists. And then when the jihadists are killed, then they're remarried off to another jihadist. This is clearly a form of ethnic cleansing and trying to wipe out the Christian community in Nigeria, and it's spreading throughout other parts of Africa.
Well, in the book called Killing the Killers, which was one of the killing books by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugard, they were really talking about, you know, radical Islam and all these different aspects of it. And they mentioned how when ISIS was a big deal and was really on the rise, and it was President Trump that helped in many ways hamstring the ISIS movement, at least in the Middle East. But meanwhile, they were saying how it was spreading into the western parts of Africa. And I guess this is the ongoing fruit of that. But I do want to ask you, since you mentioned Biden and I mentioned Trump, is there a difference, you know, as to who is the president when it comes to the lives of these people in these other countries, such as Nigeria?
Oh, we see a dramatic difference in American leadership when it comes to religious freedom and the safety and protection of Christians around the world. It makes a difference who is the president of the United States and the people that they put into their positions, key positions, and the policies that they implement. And yes, we do see an increase in the persecution, the tactics of persecution against Christians around the world. Then it's been particularly dangerous. I mentioned in Nigeria, when President Trump was in office, the United States declared Nigeria a country of particular concern, which means it's a country that has severe religious persecution, and there needs to be sanctions that go along with those actions. Sadly, the first year that President Biden came into office, his Secretary of State lifted that designation, and the abuses against Christians have only increased since that lifting of the designation. So, on behalf of Christians throughout the world and who live in some of the most risky and dangerous places, I really plead to American citizens, particularly Christian citizens, to weigh your vote very carefully, because it impacts not only us in America, but Christians throughout the world.
What is it like for Christians in China right now?
Yeah, China has become, of course, more difficult as Xi Jinping, the leader of China, is cracking down on really anybody or anything that he considers to be a challenge to his and the Communist Party's authority. So more use of the security state, that being things like facial recognition cameras to identify people, to track people, to keep a score on what they call their social score. If you don't measure up in your social score, then you're not allowed to do things like use a train or a bus or a plane. You can't travel to any place. You're not allowed to go into certain areas and use certain resources, for example, like grocery stores. So China is using their security state, security measures, in order to limit, restrict, and punish people who do not comply with the Communist Party's edicts.
Where does the Bible fit into that? In other words, do Chinese Christians have access to Bibles?
Yeah, part of the religion law that was passed in 2017 was outlawing the sale of online Bibles online, and we see more restrictions such as not allowing churches to have online services, children not allowed to be taught the faith. That means they wouldn't be allowed to be taught from the Bible. And we're even hearing reports of the Communist Party rewriting portions of the Bible, notoriously portion being rewritten is in John 8. And that is where Jesus was confronted with the woman caught in adultery. And we have that beautiful, compassionate, grace-filled response from Jesus that allowed her to be freed, because he turned the accusation, the accusatory fingers, back on those who were doing the accusing. And instead, the word is that the Communist Party has rewritten the end of that story to be that Jesus, after everyone had left, that Jesus picked up the stones and stoned the woman himself. And it seems to be a way of conveying a message that even good people will do evil things, and that the people who are on authority, you must follow whatever they do, even if they do something that doesn't seem right. And that is such an abuse and blasphemous interpretation or a rewriting of the story of Jesus Christ.
What is it like for Christians in India?
There's been a horrible series of attacks on Christians in the northern part of India, an area called Manipur. It's been going on since March of 2023. Two tribes that from the outside, again, a secular viewpoint, some may say that the tribes are fighting against each other, but in reality, it's the Hindu majority tribe that has additional powers from the majority political leadership of India that has been viciously attacking the Christian hill tribe in that area. Thousands and thousands of people have fled the area. Mainly Christians have fled the area. Christian Freedom International has helped to try and get food and resources to the Christians who have fled the area. But the Indian government needs to feel more pressure from the international community, including the United States, because this is just the latest and perhaps the worst form of persecution that we are seeing from within India. Sadly, Christian pastors are particularly targeted in small villages, are being attacked. They get accused of trying to forcibly convert others to Christianity when there's never any evidence to back that up. If people are, and as it turns out, there are apparently lots of people who are coming to Christ in India, and we understand why. Because the contrast of who Jesus Christ is so stark in contrast to any other religion. And when people realize, they truly understand what Jesus has done for us, that he is the Son of God, that he took our sins upon himself, and that he offers us grace and forgiveness in return for our own sins, that's such an appealing, life-saving, eternal message that many people are turning to Christ willingly. But there are Hindu radicals and extremists in India, and they are empowered by the current government of India to try and stop this from happening. They do it through intimidation, through punishment, through persecution of those who may have been effective in playing a part in people coming to know Christ. So I really encourage Christians to pray for the Christians in India and in many other countries where just simply being a Christian and living out your life, and other people may be attracted to the light of Jesus Christ in us, that very light in them could also attract some evil forces that want to snuff out that light.
Okay, we have about 30 seconds to wrap up this discussion. Would you say that in some ways the greatest persecution comes from the converts of Christianity from these other religions? So in other words, a Muslim becomes a Christian and then his fellow Muslims go after him because of apostasy.
Yeah, and in many cases, these converts to Christ, it's their own family that is the immediate threat to them. So in many cases around the world, it's the government that is persecuting Christians. In many places, it's the society or the culture, such as the Hindu, Buddhist, or Muslim, or even atheist, in the case of communist, community or society that will crack down on the Christians.
All right, we're basically out of time. Thank you so much.
Yes.
ChristianFreedom.org for more information. Wendy, all the best.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Bye-bye.